Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Denise Pope, Senior Lecturer at the Stanford University School of Education and co-founder of Challenge Success, a research and intervention project that aims to reduce unhealthy pressure on youth and champions a broader vision of youth success. With her is Rabbi Patricia Carlin Newman, Stanford University Senior Associate Dean for Religious Life and a Research and Policy Advisor for Challenge Success. In this first segment, we talk about what doing school is doing to kids and how we can redefine success. Dr. Pope, can you describe the problem that you saw when you observed in high schools that led you to found the Challenge Success movement?
Sure. So the movement really started with my book, which was my doctoral dissertation, and I shadowed 5 high school students for an entire school year. And originally I started out looking at what was working. It was a very good public school. These were very high-achieving students, and I wanted to see what was going well. And as I started to shadow them, and throughout the year I started to notice high levels of stress, I noticed a lot of cheating, I noticed that these kids weren't sleeping, I noticed that they were sort of, in their words, doing school, which was really trying to get through the school day using a whole bunch of strategies and tactics of raising your hand even when you don't know the answer, or kissing up to the teacher, or staying up till all hours because you have way too much work to do and not enough time to do it. And what I found was, boy, if these are the high-achieving kids and they're having all these problems, what does that say? I mean, all these kids are having trouble then. And it was looking at the system and saying, something's not right. What happened after that was one of the psychologists at the Vaden Health Center here on the Stanford University campus called me up and said, look, I just read your book about these 5 kids, and often we and other universities across the United States see the aftermath of that kind of behavior, where they're just going, doing on the treadmill, but not really learning or retaining the information or engaging deeply, and certainly suffering the health consequences because of it. So he and I decided to call a meeting of others at the university, at Stanford, who we knew would have an interest in student health and well-being and integrity and quality of life and wellness, and that's what led to a bunch of us coming up with this notion of, at first it was called SOS, but now it's called Challenge Success. And that's where I first met Patricia.
So Rabbi, do you want to tell us how you see these same kinds of issues on campus, how they manifest themselves in college students, particularly in their spiritual lives?
I've been working at Stanford for 15 years, and Stanford University and other universities like it are filled with extraordinarily gifted students, and they have in some ways achieved the epitome of what they were supposed to do, which is to gain admission to a selective college. And once they're here, we discover that for many students, going from being the top of their class and always being told how extraordinary they are to being in a community where all of their peers are equally high-achieving and equally capable is difficult and creates a sense that they don't have the same worth they had before they matriculated. And I think the inclination to have external measures to value who they are is endemic and tremendously problematic, so that many of the things that Denise saw on the high school level are recapitulated in the college level. People are much more concerned with grades than with learning. Cheating is something that is acceptable in order to be able to achieve a high grade. And often when they find themselves in a situation where they aren't at the top of their class, they have no resources, no resilience to be able to value what matters. So the notion of having external measures rather than internal measures, I think, is the most salient part of what we see among our students. And even extraordinarily capable students are prey to this funk and, in some cases, depression that is attendant upon not being the absolute star. And just on the level of numbers, if you're in the top 5% of your class, there can only be 5%. And so there are 95% of students who once were there and aren't once they're in university. And at Stanford in particular, we often call it the Stanford Duck Syndrome. Students appear to be completely calm and complacent. And Donald Kennedy, the former Stanford president, coined the phrase Stanford Duck Syndrome to reflect the fact that students are placid above the surface but paddling like hell underneath.
And that's actually not a bad segue to what we mean by challenge success, because the very narrow definition of success as measured by external things, grades and test scores and where you go to college, is what everybody is putting as a premium right now. And we are saying we are challenging that very narrow notion of success that so many of these kids feel like they have to fit into, that we are actually asking families and schools and working with families and schools to re-envision what it means to truly be successful, where you have characteristics at the top of the list as integrity and well-being and resilience and connection and real engagement with learning, none of which are necessarily measured adequately by test scores and grades and the things that we're putting a premium on now. So what we mean by challenge success is really coming up with a much broader vision of what it means to be successful. Where do you put your values and where do you put your emphasis as a parent or as a school, and help families and schools achieve that vision?
In our community is a very lovely Nobel Prize winner. And every year for High Holidays, he's accompanied by one of his children who has chosen to do something that's completely outside the realm of academia and completely outside the field that his father has achieved his success in. And this young man is always, for me, the face of a different measure of success, because what I see in him every year is somebody who has tremendous concern for his parents, sensitivity for his now elderly parents, make sure that they make it to High Holiday services because it's important for them to do so and they're not able to do so on their own. And the ability in this family for there to be a much more robust understanding of what it means to achieve is always so powerful to me and really defines Mensch. So in that sense, I think that we have other measures within Jewish values, but sometimes those measures are seen as ancillary and not essential. And what I would like to do in the work that we do is to help people to truly value the qualities of human interaction and the qualities of caring and compassion and tikkun olam that we say our tradition is based on.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast, find more resources, including links and discussion guides, and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.